GBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. The House has narrowly passed a bill that would increase the debt ceiling by $1.5 trillion, also cut federal spending. Majority Leader Steve Scalise.
House Republicans are not going to sit on the sidelines. We're going to lead and present a solution. That's what this bill is.
That bill, though, not expected to pass the Senate, and the president says he'd veto it. Montana Republicans banning transgender lawmaker Zoe Zephyr from the House for the rest of the 2023 session. It's in retaliation for her scolding lawmakers over a ban on gender-affirming care for children.
I rose up in defense of my community that day, speaking to harms that these bills bring and that I have firsthand experience knowing about.
She'll still be allowed to vote remotely. President Biden and the South Korean president revealing a new plan to counter North Korea's nuclear threat by sending a U.S. nuclear ballistic sub to South Korea. Stocks fell again on Wall Street. This is ABC News. British regulators blocking Microsoft's $69 billion deal to buy video game maker Activision Blizzard over competition concerns. Texas lawmakers are taking on Meta, Twitter, and TikTok.
In the social media Wild West, just about anyone can sign up for an account, including minors.
Our children are not the customers of these platforms. They are the commodity being traded.
Texas State Representative Shelby Slauson says the youngest users may or may not understand what they're signing up for.
Their young minds are being shaped by addictive algorithms, and their attention spans are being captured and curated in directions that serve corporate bottom lines.
Her proposal would require parental consent for anyone under 18 to open a social media account. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
Progress in the Roman Catholic Church. For the first time in the church's 2,000-year history, women will have the right to vote at the meeting of bishops. Pope Francis approving the change for the Vatican body. Andy Field, ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT. G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for greatest of all time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. Four F-35 fighter jets touched down Tuesday at Truex Field in Madison. Madison's 115th Fighter Wing is the second Air National Guard unit in the country to receive F-35s. Wisconsin's Air National Guard says ultimately 20 of the aircraft will arrive in the next year to replace the current F-16 jets. The Wisconsin DNR asking for volunteers to help collar elk calves next month. It's part of a multi-year study of the herd in Jackson County. The collected data helps the DNR understand elk movement, breeding, and survival in the state. 15 or more volunteers are needed for each survey day. The spots tend to fill up quickly. Volunteers walk through the woods in a line. Once an elk calf is found, a DNR wildlife biologist fits the animal with a GPS collar, which grows along with the calf. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
He's the grave digger, Gilbert Brown.
Where can you go where it's always a standing room only? You ain't gonna find that in Chicago.
It's never personal, only politics.
You ain't gonna find that in Minnesota, standing room only, because you can go to the gumball machine, stick a quarter in there, out come tickets.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
That's the way it is, man. We love football fans. Fans love us.
Weekdays 4 to 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website, civicmedia.us.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup. You're listening to a radio station that's part of the Civic Media Network. Find more at civicmedia.us.
emergencies and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors, the American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
The phone lines are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
You know, I like these books talking about labor's past, because I think the more we learn from the struggles of the past, the easier the future will be. And it drives me crazy when people go, no, we don't need those stinking unions. You know, that was something we needed 100 years ago. Yeah, I needed them 100 years ago. Absolutely right. And you need them again. It seems simple to me. Which is why it's interesting. I got an email from Brenda, listening on WIOO 97.9 in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, asked quite pointedly, why would anyone join a union? And this is what blows my mind. I don't know why anyone would ask that question. I mean, the simple answers are, well, you know, collective bargaining agreements that get you better wages, hours, conditions, you know, higher salaries, better benefits, that kind of stuff. Job security, the end of at-will employment. You have to be fired for cause. There has to be a reason for you to lose your job. Seniority rights, that kind of stuff. But, you know, also, you know, safer working conditions. But for me, it's that empowerment, that sense that you have a say in the destination of your life, that you can, that your voice matters. But I appreciate the email, Brenda. And I don't understand why you'd ask the question, but I'm glad you did. Let's go to the phones. Got Alice on one. Alice, how are you?
I'm insane.
Okay.
So, yeah, you know, nothing new about that. You were saying at the beginning of the show, talking about Ted Cruz and his pushing lies and propaganda about abortion. And the thing that really gets me is, these are supposed to be, and you'll notice I said supposed, to be educated people. And they are fulfilling being public servants. And they're also telling us over and over about how they love Jesus, and, you know, it's all about Christianity and those Ten Commandments. And if I recall correctly, one of them is about you're not supposed to lie. But yet, they seem to think nothing about lying, because we all know that we don't do abortions after a child is born, because that wouldn't be an abortion. That would be murder.
Yeah, but again, they understand, Ted Cruz knows, he knows what the law is. Ted Cruz knows exactly what he's doing. Just, you know, as I've said before, you know, is it worse that someone knows that they're lying to you or actually truly believes it? I think Ted Cruz is one of the worst people on the planet, because I know he knows better. But he does it because this is about, you know, as you said, you know, the Ten Commandments. There's a couple of them he's breaking there. You know, the bearing false witness and the idolatry, you know, the worshiping of money, because this really is about wealth and power. This is about campaign cash. This is about keeping him in the power position. He doesn't believe this stuff, but it's good rhetoric to inflame the poorly educated.
Well, it is. And, you know, it really bothers me that, and ignorance abounds. All these people going, well, you know, the heartbeat bill, 6 weeks. Well, riddle me this. How can you have a heartbeat when a heart in a fetus does not form until around the fifth month? So, you know, it just shows how uneducated, apparently, the entire Republican Party is. But there's nothing new about that. They're right on my list along with West Virginia. But, you know, we'll not go there. Have a good evening, Rick.
Thank you, Alice. I appreciate it. No, and look, you know, this again, is my problem of the moment that we're in. None of this is about solutions. Understand this. It's not about solutions. It's not about fixing things. It's not about moving forward. It's about
about continuing the fight and the struggle to keep us apart so that they can continue to move what their real agenda is. And the real agenda, and this isn't conspiratorial, it just is. It's more for the rich and powerful, more money, more wealth, more power, more all of that, and less for you and me. And the thing that they dance in front of us every chance they get to keep us distracted from the fact that enormous amounts of wealth have been stolen from the working class of this country is this stupid stuff. You know, I had someone ask me, you know, why I care. I go, I don't. I mean, this is the problem. I really don't care about these issues. Honestly, I mean, you know, the same-sex marriage doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter, affect my life at all. But someday I may know somebody, and that matters. I grew up in a time, and I guess this just means being Gen X. I grew up in a time where, you know, don't worry about me, worry about yourself. You minded your own business. As long as it doesn't cost me anything. You know, I had someone say, well, will you use pronouns? I go, no, I'm not going to put pronouns in my signature. If you can't tell I'm a man, well, that's on you. But if someone tells me, hey, I go by this pronoun, I'm going to try. I'm going to try and use them by use whatever pronoun they want, whatever name they want, because it's respectful. It's being decent. And the sad reality is that whole thing that our parents taught us, or at least my mother taught me, was to be decent, to be respectful. You know, that golden rule. Treat others as you'd want them to treat you, or, you know, the silver one. Treat them as poorly as you would want them to treat you as poorly. But we've got a whole political class right now hell-bent on, again, keeping us enraged at each other. On any topic, it's life or death. And with social media, the trolling is, most of it is just, I don't think people who actually understand or care about the issue, it's just about making someone else as miserable as they are. This is why I believe in face-to-face conversations. You know, I get vile stuff from people via email, via social media, vile stuff. Stuff I know if I took to their mother and said, do you know your child wrote this? The mother would wash their mouth out with soap. At least my mother would have. But we're not that society anymore. And it's because we've got bad leaders. It's hard to believe that someone like Sheldon Whitehouse, a good, decent man, is in the same institution as Ted Cruz. Hard for me to believe. And the reality is, I look at Cruz, Ivy League educated, brilliant guy. I guess he's argued before the Supreme Court. He's at the top of the heap, you know, credential wise. Spreading lies and misinformation for political gain. He's a huckster. He's in the same world as someone like Trump. And until we, you, me, us, put down this nonsense, we're going to continue to get ripped off. And nothing for us gets done. Yeah, issue after issue. There are solutions. There are solutions. And I believe we can find them. The problem is the other side, they don't want solutions. They want division. They want destruction. They want anger. They want animosity. They want us to keep the red hats and the blue hats on. They want us buying their t-shirts and their bull. Time for us to stop. Almost swore there. Quick break, right back.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1975. That was the day the AFL-CIO held a Jobs Now rally in Washington, D.C. A painful recession had pushed unemployment in the U.S. to 9%. Many workers across the nation thought the Ford administration was not doing enough to address the needs of working families. 60,000 people, many of them union members carrying banners representing their unions, gathered in RFK Stadium. There they heard speeches, including one from Senator Hubert H. Humphrey, who had served as vice president under Lyndon B. Johnson. His speech described the devastating impact of unemployment. Senator Humphrey said, "Our nation must recommit itself to the goal and the promise of full employment, a job for every American who is willing and able to work. Perhaps we would get bolder action and more compassion from this administration if some of its top advisors had a little taste of unemployment themselves. Perhaps they would know what unemployment is. It's drawing your last unemployment check with no job in sight. It's sitting in the dark to save on the light bill. It's making shoes last another month and driving on bald tires. It's eating a little less so the kids can eat a little more. It's facing eviction because you can't pay the rent or meet the mortgage. It's borrowing from your brother-in-law or letting your insurance lapse. It's facing yourself in the mirror and asking why and how much longer. It's wondering how a nation this rich, this enterprising, this great can let more than 8 million Americans who want to work and need to work go without work." Some protesters rushed the stage at the rally, causing it to end early. But his questions still remain. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at laborhistoryin2.
Do you find it as charming as I do when some leisure class corporate chieftain whines that America's working stiffs are a bunch of slackers? We're hearing that now from Wall Street plutocrats, grumping that employees no longer have that old nose-to-the-grindstone, yes-boss work ethic of old-school capitalism that has created such fabulous wealth. Of course, wealth for whom and work for what are at the root of today's questioning of the old culture and structure of work. But the grumpers don't want to hear that, so they simply carp that America has gone soft. The latest high-flying scolder is Stephen Ratner, the Wall Street huckster who was fined $6 million in 2010 for running a kickback scheme and banned from investment banking for 2 years. But now he's back in the financial hustle, feeling free to chastise you for what he sees as your lack of hustle on the job. In particular, Steve is peeved at you work-from-home people, asserting with no actual evidence that you're not really working. He claims it will inevitably lead to a lower standard of living, a standard he measures strictly in money, not quality of life. Indeed, he says that your life should be work, pointing with envy to China's 996 system, a grinding ethic of expecting people to work from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. 6 days a week. Then, Ratner offers a grand solution to dissuade work-from-home arrangements, housing. Why, he asks, have a big majority of European workers already returned to their offices? Simple, he says, most people there live in small apartments and houses, making stay-at-home work less comfortable. Voila! Put America's workers in tiny houses and office space will fill up. This is Jim Hightower saying, see, life is simple if you view it from the heights of Wall Street. Thank you, Steve. Now, go away.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
Evidently, Fox News, this is getting better and better every day with this Tucker Carlson thing. The blue check mark mafia on Twitter, they're all on board. Wherever Tucker goes next, they're going to be there. In fact, they were sharing a picture of him laughing, playing golf. But I loved the Rolling Stone report that said, evidently Fox News executives have a dossier. There's a dossier. Evidently it's got a bunch of dirt on Tucker Carlson that he'll stay in line. He's not going to do anything stupid. They've got the dirt. Wow. I mean, you couldn't write this stuff, to be honest. I mean, Netflix wouldn't pick this show up. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on the top stories of the day from India, our good friend, former Ohio congressman and political analyst, Bob Ney. Bob, thanks for taking time for us.
Namaste, Rick. How are you?
I am great. How are things in India?
Pretty good. They like us, and it's a world's largest democracy. It will exceed the population of China, I think, within a year or two. So things are pretty good. Let's see, the American hotel chains that are $220 a night are $53 a night here. How about that?
Wow.
Yeah, gas is high, but rest of the products have stayed relatively low, but that's because the buying power. I mean, you know, if you raise the prices too much, they're simply not going to sell here. People aren't going to buy them.
Right. So, yeah. No, I know. So I know you like going there. I know that's your
getaway.
Your mental health space. Let's use that.
It is. It's pretty pretty peaceful over here. I went to Northern India with Ellen Ratner. Of course, who got me started on India, right?
Yeah.
Ellen Ratner, our friend Ellen.
Yeah, I miss Ellen.
That's how 12 years ago.
Yeah. So any thoughts on the insanity that's going on here as Kevin McCarthy and the Republicans passed their, what is it, the Limit, Save, and Grow Act, as I've been saying, otherwise known as the Let's Shoot the Hostages Act. Any thoughts going on there of how insane we are?
Well, I mean, it's more insane what Fox News is happening for the spicy side of news with Fox, but this is creating its own problems. Here's a couple of observations I like to make on this. One, from the very start, what's the kind of main headline on this beyond what it does or beyond what it, where it's going to go? Here's the main headline. Just I find this, if I were the speaker, I would find this troublesome, to say the least. Four Republicans went against it. He only had one vote to spare. It was 217 to 215. You know, here's sort of the headlines is that, you know, McCarthy beats his caucus. They don't say that, but he defeats his caucus. He wins. That in itself, to make the observation that, wow, McCarthy, he's a leader because he just got his own caucus to support the debt ceiling bill. In itself, what does that tell you, Rick? You're one of the best retail political people I know. It tells you he's got a problem.
Yeah. No, like I said at the beginning, and I said, you know, if this bill had any chance of passing, and it doesn't, I say maybe 50 people vote for it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
Because so it's that bad. When you're talking about a 22% cut to the VA, when you're talking about a 22% cut to the Social Security Administration, when you're talking these kind of massive draconian cuts, that's going to hurt your constituents, and they know that.
Right. So this was a, and for some people, by the way, this is a, in the Republican caucus, because you know, I was in that caucus, this is going to serve as a safety net for them, believe it or not. You know, some people, Marjorie Taylor, you know, Green, Marjorie Taylor, three names. It's going to serve as a safety cushion for them because they're going to say, hey, I voted, you know, I voted to do the right thing. Can't help what the rest of the system does.
Yeah.
So for some of them, it'll be that. For others, this is going to be a vote that, of course, will be used against them. Here's the number one thing about this piece of legislation, and it's not inherently what's in it. As much as it should never exist, you raise debt ceilings. I did it multiple times when Bush was president. We did it when Clinton was president. You raise or you don't raise debt ceilings. You don't do a budget in a debt ceiling bill. Why? This is such 101 politics, 101 government, 101 sociology. They are voting on what has already happened.
I know
they're codifying what already went down last year,
and then taking on the arrows of what I argue a budget being a moral document and a document of priorities by sticking it to veterans and seniors.
Right. Yes, they did. So the substance in itself is not good with anything they've done with seniors or veterans, but also to attempt to do a budget in a debt ceiling bill. It's politically bizarre. Why do you want to put your members on a mark here? Because some of the members that voted for this, now the four that didn't, of course, Matt Gaetz of Florida didn't vote for it because it didn't make people work 15 hours a day for $2 an hour, you know, for food stamps. So yeah, that's Matt Gaetz' thinking. But why would you want to put your members on the line? Why would you want to vote for this when it's not even a budget process? You argue all these things out in the 11 or 13 appropriation bills, depends how they craft them. You argue all of these things out, Rick, as you know, the old way we used to do it, line by line, budget item by budget item, and an amendment process. This wasn't an amendment process on where you stood on veterans. You know, this was just a cut.
Yeah.
So the whole thing's bizarre. And then on top of it, to have the story of how, you know, the speaker was finally able to, you know, maneuver, push, threaten, wrangle, whatever you want to call, his own caucus to barely survive by one vote.
Yeah, but I keep coming back to the main point. He got them to vote for something that's never going to become law. It's never going to pass. The president said he's going to veto it, and I don't think it gets through the Senate, even if it does.
Right. This was a pre-budget statement to satisfy a lot of members of the Freedom Caucus. That's what this was, a pre-budget statement, because it should never have happened this way. So he was satisfying them. But the whole thing is going wrong from the substance of the bill, the cuts that it incurred without debate for the veterans and seniors, without debate. And people say, well, the bill was debated. No, these are complicated line items dealing with veterans and seniors and domestic spending and defense and everything else under the sun. And you don't do it in a bill that just says, oh, here's our numbers, here we go. It's not the way it's done in the debt ceiling bills.
Yeah, so, but you used
and
word
this
there.
Also, by the way, gives no leverage to them with the president.
Yeah, none. I mean, there's nothing there.
None.
But you use the word complicated, which is a complicated word that they don't understand. I mean, I have, you know, friends who are like, governing is easy. You know, being a legislator is easy. No, it's a lot of hard work. It's a lot of compromise if you do it right. What we're seeing is it being done wrong.
Correct. The whole process, you're right, Rick, is done wrong. When we did these budgets years back, we dug in, we, Republicans and Democrats, dug in, I mean, line item by line item. You know, how was this working in Health and Human Services? How did this work in veterans? It allowed you actually to do some things like saying, hey, you know, the VA bureaucratic system's not working fast enough. Let's put an amendment in there for them to speed up the process for veterans approval. You can do all those things if you do it in the right format and the right way, which is the budget process.
Yeah, that takes too
long. So they have short-circuited all of that.
That takes too long. It's easy just to have a performative bill that we ram through so that we can go back to our podcast circuit and our F channel and say, we tried, but they stopped us.
Right. So this is a non-starter. Here we go. Where do we end up? Is this going to be high noon? And here's the other point. How do you now, as Republican caucus, how do you yield to do something, you know, to avert the shutdown? Or you let the shutdown occur, and then it's sort of like Iraq. What was our exit plan? Oops, we didn't have one, you know? And that's what's going to happen with the Republicans. If you don't have an exit plan, you know, because they know this is not going to make it. They know it has no hope. So what's the exit plan? I don't know. Is it the exit plan punt when we get there?
No, the exit plan is blame Biden. That's always the plan. In a little over a month and a half, or I guess not even a month and a half yet, there's a very real, you know, consequence at the end of this road. One that we've never done before. Have we defaulted before?
Well, we shut down the government, which is different than the default.
Yeah, no, we
but
shut
as far
down.
As, right,
but, we've never actually pushed the button and gone nuclear option.
Right, and that's part of the problem, because a lot of people that are watching this that, you know, aren't up to speed on what DC is really doing, will view this as, when this happens, or if it happens, or when, they'll view it as a, quote, shutdown. We've shut down before. You know, I was part of that years back, and it's happened a couple times, but the default is completely different. And then that takes our rating. Also, I'll tell you who would be most happy if we defaulted is China.
Yeah.
They want their currency to be the one that rules, not the dollar. They would love it if we would default. It would play right into them trying to take over the currency. So, yes, this would be historic. And as they near towards it, again, if they don't have an exit plan, in normal cases, when I would do news over the last 12 years, right? And I would say, oh, here we go. You know, here's the hype. We're to the edge of the diving board. You know, do we shut down? Do we not shut down?
The bomb's ticking.
Right, here we go. Oh, the brave Senate and the brave House. And then they do a continuing resolution, and you know, and we all move on, and we all knew the drama was there. this time is different. You're right. This time it might be the real deal.
That's why I keep saying they want to shoot the hostage just because it's never been done before. They want the chaos. And I've got people going, you know, my 401k was so much better under Trump. If Republicans get their way right now, your 401k is going to look a lot worse.
There's the other thing. In the height of, you know, our times now, and with, you know, continued gasoline increases, thank you, Saudi Arabia, and with inflation, you know, the job market back and forth, good, a little mild. I mean, with all these factors going on, this is surely not the time to even tempt this. Yeah, not at all.
It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're here with Bob Ney, former Ohio congressman, political analyst, sharing some thoughts from India. And thank you for calling in and sharing some thoughts.
Sure.
I want to get your thoughts before you go on what's going on in Florida with DeSantis and Disney. This just seems crazy on really kind of a bizarre level. You've got DeSantis, who's got some war on woke, whatever that is. I guess, you know, even his people say, you know, being decent, this war on decency, and taking it to Disney. And now Disney's filing a lawsuit against them. Any thoughts on how crazy this is?
Yeah, I haven't looked into, you know, all the details of the history of this relationship. When I say this relationship, Florida and Disney, friends of mine have pointed out you really ought to look into some of the past, you know, ability of Disney to become its own zoning authority. And there's all these intricacies. I guess it's sort of like comparable if you're in Ohio and you're a lawmaker and you're dealing with Honda, right?
Right.
You know, which came to Ohio, and it's a big deal in Ohio. This one, I mean, Walt Disney and Florida are so intertwined, you know, and they've got this lawsuit, you're right. And they are alleging the Republican governor has waged a relentless campaign to weaponize, this is interesting, Disney's using this weaponized government power to use it over the company's head. And so this suit, I think, what this suit does, Rick, is it takes the whole behind the scenes and front scenes of the DeSantis Disney feud, and it's taking it and it's putting it on a high speed train, you know, and it's throwing it right out front, because the lawsuit was filed the same day that the DeSantis backed board moved to undo a development deal that it says Disney struck to show how powerful it is. So the board was going to undo that deal. So I think that this escalates everything that's been going on between DeSantis and Disney, and it throws it also right out front. Now, the question I ask in my mind is, Disney, you know, do they have clean hands, like Judge Judy says, you know, to do these suits? Why would a corporation like Disney throw this out right in front of the public, unless, if you look at this, it probably looks better than he does if it comes public, right?
Yeah, I'm, and I got to think of the laws on Disney's side. I mean, you know, to a certain extent, because, you know, there's a part of me that goes, you know, isn't this kind of singling out one entity? And I know there's some, you know, there's some language in our Constitution about singling, in enforcing laws against, you know, individuals, or I don't know. There seems to be, you know, some gray area here that could be interesting to watch how it gets fought out.
True. And it's been back and forth over the years before DeSantis with Disney, and how powerful should it be? How much should it do on its own of zoning? How much Florida has to be involved with? And now, you know, the match that lit this was the fact that this DeSantis-backed board said to Disney, no, you can't do that deal. But
yeah,
the fight really began last year when Disney came out against the Florida bill, which is it's been dubbed Don't Say Gay bill. And they came out against it, and that absolutely, you know, DeSantis went wild with that and went after Disney for speaking against the bill.
You know, for me, it's going to be interesting because, you know, Republicans believe corporations are people. And as I understand, 14th Amendment, you know, gives you the, you know, this equal protection clause that, you know, they can't go after you and enforce. There's an interesting legal argument that I hope Disney pursues.
Well, they are, because the panel that DeSantis, you know, created and put the people on board, because this was the last straw for Disney. Okay, the panel unanimously voted to declare Disney void and unenforceable for their development deal. Now, that development deal was approved before DeSantis replaced the Disney-approved board with his people.
Right.
So here you have this is striking. Here you have a board that's created to kind of have this oversight of Disney. Disney brings a proposal, a deal. The board says yes. DeSantis replaces board members, and the board then says what? No. And it was investing $17 billion over the next decade. $17 billion. Here's the stats, Rick. Over the next decade, this deal, yielding 13,000 new jobs, right, on top of its more than 75 current cast members, these were permanent jobs. And so what the deal that was approved did then was to be disapproved. I don't see how Disney loses.
Well, maybe the Fox settlement won't be.
It might be small.
Yeah, well, we will see. Bob, I appreciate the time. As always, enjoy your time in India. I appreciate you.
Okay.
You coming around. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Our good friend Bob Ney. Seriously, this is going to be at least entertaining. Maybe it's one of the things that, wouldn't it be ironic if Disney is what brought DeSantis down? No, wait a minute. Not DeSantis brought himself down. Never mind. I'm not going to give Disney that credit. Quick break. Right back to wrap things up.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. In 1948, gold was discovered at John Souter's mill in California. As word spread, fortune seekers from all across the United States and across the world flocked to California in what became known as the Gold Rush. This included thousands from China. Many of the Chinese miners planned to return home with the gold they mined. As the easily accessible gold became more and more scarce due to the rush, resentment grew against foreign miners. In 1850, California passed the Foreign Miners Tax, charging those who came from outside the United States $20 a month. On this day in labor history, the year was 1862. The California legislature passed an act to further limit Chinese miners. The official title was An Act to Protect Free White Labor Against Competition with Chinese Coolie Labor and to Discourage the Immigration of the Chinese into the State of California. The word coolie referred to unskilled laborers from China and the Indian subcontinent. It was also often used as a derogatory term for Chinese people. The act implemented new taxes and licensing requirements on Chinese miners. The steep taxes led many Chinese to leave mining. Nearly 12,000 Chinese workers found employment with the construction of the Transcontinental Railroad. They performed extremely dangerous work, laying the track through the Rocky Mountains. Yet, when the railroad project was completed, the Chinese workers were excluded from the celebrations. They were also not allowed to ride on the trains that crossed the continent for the first time. Anti-Chinese racism continued to grow. 20 years after the passage of the California law, the federal government passed the Chinese Exclusion Act. This law prohibited the immigration of Chinese labor.
Labor History in 2 brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com. Well, here's a shocker. And you knew this was going to happen. The MAGA movement, wildly unpopular, evidently. Latest NBC News poll finds that the MAGA folks, least popular group. Evidently, just 24% of Americans in this poll had a positive view, while 45% have a negative view. Republicans, however, when you look at those numbers, and this is surprising, 52% of Republicans had a positive view of the MAGA folk. That's interesting, as well as 53% of the people who define themselves stake the flag in the ground as conservative. On the Trump front, Trump is wildly disliked by swing voters. Evidently, Biden has a 39-point lead with swing voters, 54-15. Because They may dislike Biden, but they really dislike Trump. And this is one of those things where you just go, I know Democrats want Trump to run for real, to run so that Biden can win, because we'll see. But it's interesting that Republicans want Trump even more now, which, you know, great. You know, good for you. You keep pushing them. 63% in the most recent Marist poll say that they want Trump to have a second term, even with all of the stuff that's going on, even if he's guilty of the crimes. Yeah. My favorite quote of the day, Carrie Lake, the failed Arizona gubernatorial candidate. She said that Fox News is in bed with the left because they fired Tucker. How dare they? And speaking of Fox News, interesting little back and forth between Brian Kilmeade, who I can't stand, and Rona McDaniel, who I don't trust. Evidently, you know, while being interviewed by Kilmeade, McDaniel said President Trump never shies away from a debate, even though Trump's kind of leaning towards no debates. And Kilmeade goes, yes, he does. He skipped ours in 2016. He did? Well, he skipped one. I love that back and forth. And finally, another neighbor. This time a 79-year-old guy angry with his neighbor for doing yard work. Yes, the guy had a leaf blower. He's out, you know, leaf blowing, and the 79-year-old guy goes out with a gun, shoots him in the head. The 59-year-old dead, 79-year-old being carted away. And this, again, is another one of those moments where, explain to me how guns make us safer. And you go, but Rick, this is an isolated incident. Seems to be happening a lot lately. Old white guys angry about stuff. I don't know. There seems to be some kind of a weird pattern going on. Back in the old days, I remember people pulling out guns and, you know, it's kind of a threat thing. You should go away. You should stop. And but not really using them as often. Today, it seems like we're doing it a lot. It seems we're doing it a lot. And the question then is, you know, what do you do with a 79-year-old guy? By the time he gets to trial, he's probably going to be dead anyway. What punishment is there? Now, this family is going to lose a husband, a father, a breadwinner. They're chaos. And for what? For what? Another senseless killing. And what's interesting is, you know, I had someone email me the other day and say, do you know the most dangerous places in the country? You know, one of the most dangerous places, Memphis, Tennessee. I didn't know that. Tacoma, Washington. Didn't know that. What about Chicago? No. What about New York? No. Those are actually fairly safe places. In fact, you know, red states are some of the most dangerous places in the country, they tell me. And they're the ones who have the guns. And again, I keep asking that question. When do we get to peak safety again? When do we get the neighbors not shooting each other? I know. Good guy with a gun. Want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. You got anything on your mind? Something I said got under your skin? Angry hate emails I answer first. If you miss any portion of the program, make sure you grab the podcast. Wherever you find your favorite podcast, you'll find ours. Appreciate you tuning in.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.